Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective that supports 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. Go to happyvalleyunited.com for more information and also information about some of those great upcoming events they have. I'm Jim Galante. With me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, as always, great to have you on.
Jim, what's going on? Pleasure to be on here. Love it. Being a regular on here now. Look forward to it. I know we had some issues, but we're working through it. We're going to fight through. That's what we do.
We had some tech issues to start. The bottom line to it was I'm over here on my side waiting for Mike to get on. He was on the other side waiting for me. The good news is, Mike, we both waited for each other. We were patient.
Patient.
It is the company is worth it. Mike, it's been great having you on because what we get is kind of that inside feel, inside the clubhouse, what is going on. So you've been providing our listeners with some fantastic information. What I thought we could do this week is take a look at the class of 25. That is the incoming freshman class. First of all, are they all there, Mike? I know some come in early back in January, then through the summer they come in. Is everybody reported in?
There's just one guy that isn't here yet. He's going to get here. That's Jabari Wallace Coleman from Imatep Charter. Just because of the way that their school is, he wasn't able to be here as a mid-year. But he's going to be here pretty soon. But he's the lone lasting guy that isn't here yet. But he'll be here soon.
Okay, let's take a look at this class overall, Mike. It's interesting. On a previous show, you said to me, we talked about one of the things that's been outstanding to me whenever I see these young players is just how tall they are, how big, how long. In some ways, they look like a basketball team. And you talked about the difference between when you were here 5-6 years ago versus now, where you said, we got lots of athletes back then. Now we're getting big athletes. Does this class fit that description?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when you see them. I know when at that bowling event that we had, you saw Owen Alessini.
Yes.
And he kind of looks like a tight end. You know, like he's kind of like slim, but you can tell he's going to be a huge kid. Obviously, you know, he has a huge frame, big wide frame, wide hips, big lowers. But you can tell he's going to put on a ton of weight, and he already has. He's already starting to look the par when you see him in the weight room right now. Brady O'Hara is another guy. You know, he's basically was recruited as a tight end, but he's up to around 280 now. He looks good. And he just got here. He wasn't one of the guys that came in with the mid-years, but also another long guy, you know, 6'6", around 280 right now. Malachi Goodman is just a freak. Chaz Coleman, long, freakish. Lyric Samuel, long, freakish. Then you look at our DBs. That's probably one of the biggest between the O-line, D-line, and defensive backs. Those are probably the biggest changes that I've seen from the first time that I was here from 15 to 17 to now. Whereas these guys look long and they look like they can play multiple positions and they're athletic. And that's a big reason why we're at right now. We continue to recruit these type of guys.
Well, let's talk about that offensive line a little bit. Alessini, as the description, you know, I saw him at that bowling event. He introduces himself. I assumed it'd be a tight end, edge guy, and it's like offensive lineman. And I thought, actually, I would have been less surprised if he said he was a power forward, okay, because he looked like he should be playing basketball.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, since then, I've watched some tape of him. This guy's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys, a lot of these old, these longer, big guys that you're looking at, when you look them at the film, they have to have really good feet, right? If they have good feet and they have good athleticism, they play other multiple sports, they play basketball, they wrestle, we know they're athletic, especially lowers. So you know you can mold him. If they have the frame, that's a good combination. So now you can project that you can mold this guy into 280, 300 plus pounds. Plus, he's going to be able to develop athletically because he already has the feet and athleticism that you want. So it's a great recipe when you're recruiting these bigger guys. But yeah, Alessini's definitely fits that mold. Long, 84 inch wingspan. A good kid too, really good kid. But those kind of guys, he's not going to come in. You're not going to see him probably on the field next year. Maybe his redshirt year, he starts peppering in. But again, that goes back to developing players and getting really good players and developing and just not depending on the portal. And Alessini and Brady and some of these other guys like Trout are like that.
Well, it's interesting in talking about offensive line, that is more a development position. A guy like Cooper Cousins, who appears to be ready from the moment he walks on campus, that's the outlier. That's the exception that kind of makes the rule, right, at offensive sure. line.
Yeah, you don't really see too many Cooper Cousins in the world, especially at this level in college football, be able to come in and play with grown men when they were just 18 years old, 17 years old playing high school. But some guys, they just have that. They have that mentality too, because they're not just big athletic kids, coming into programs. They got to get adjusted to not just a high school locker room, high school, everything that they were doing in a high school atmosphere. Now they're with grown men, that have developed and been through Coach Losey's strength and conditioning program for 3-4 years. So it's really hard for a high school offensive lineman and defense lineman to come in and contribute right away. But Coop is an exception. And I think, you got guys like Malachi Goodman. When you look at him, he looks like he's already been in the program 2-3 years. He's huge, athletic looking. He's exactly how you like him. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a chance to earn some reps this year, just like Coop. Wow. But we are deep, obviously, at the offensive line. But he is a guy, granted the opportunity comes up for him, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a rep here or there.
Well, I always felt on the lines, both offensive and defensive, you obviously are getting big kids. Traditionally, it's always been big kids that their bodies need to be reshaped. They're still 18-year-old kids playing against 22-year-old men in college. Even though I think high school programs are getting so good now. The other thing I noticed with this class that's interesting, Mike, we're talking about the tight ends and offensive linemen, or I'm adding the tight ends in. You brought in 5 guys that are listed as tight ends and only 3 guys who are listed as offensive linemen. Might we see some of those guys listed as tight ends? Like you mentioned, Brady O'Hara. He was listed as 245 pounds in his scouting report out of high school. You mentioned he's up to 280. Mm-hmm. These guys are potential tackles, aren't they?
Yeah. Brady's going to be working with offensive linemen. Great kid. He's excited, super excited. I was really impressed. Obviously, me getting here, in January, I haven't had the advantage of being part of his recruitment for, 3-4 years. But my first time meeting him, I was really impressed. You can tell this kid is really ambitious, really excited to be here and prove to the other offensive linemen that he belongs. But I think Brady, he's going to be another developmental guy. You'll see him in a year or two, but high ceiling, just like a lot of these other guys.
Well, I think there's a history of taking those biggish tight ends and turning them into tackles. And if they're ever hesitant to make that move because they still want to catch passes, all you got to do is show them NFL contracts for a left tackle.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. But I think that trend started a long time ago, to be honest. I think the Wisconsins of the world, I remember, were recruiting tight ends, and then transitioning them and developing them into offensive linemen. I think most programs are doing that now. And I think kids are realizing they don't want to go. They don't want to come off as bad body comp when a coach comes and sees them. I think high school training programs are a lot more advanced these days. So I think it's evolved from you know, the old Nebraska days, when those guys are just humongous, just brutes and just really just like pushers. Now there's a lot of the zone schemes. You got to go side to side. So the lateral quickness and athleticism is even more important nowadays.
Well, when you see some of those, you watch the Eagles, you watch the center pulling out and how athletic he's
so athletic.
Was, you know, when you see now these tackles with the edge rushers, could you imagine having an Abdul Carter on the other side? And, you know, you have to help beat him when he's doing a edge rush. You better be athletic at tackle now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that's really neat too, with our situation at Penn State, is with Coach Colton Nickey and his offense. He's very dimensional, right? Like multidimensional, does a lot of different things. He's fun, right? Especially you saw that with Vanga last year, pulling and coming down and cracking on an end. I think the hardest thing for offensive linemen are when they're in space, right? So like on the screens and the stuff and then the multiple different things that Coach Colton Nickey does. Well, those guys, they need to be able to block in space, which is hard. I mean, you're talking about a Cooper Cousins who's 300 plus pounds going out outside the hash in space and having to block a safety or a corner that's obviously a lot quicker than them, but them having the feet and the athleticism, you know, from the beginning of their development is really important. And you can see that athleticism on our offensive line, and not just the five guys that we're projecting as starters. I think it goes, you know, 8, 9, 10 deep.
You know, not that you need my advice on recruiting, but I'll put my two cents in anyway. Like, if I'm recruiting an offensive lineman, I think all I would do is put together a video of Vega Ioane's plays where he's in motion and crushing a linebacker or a defensive back. If I'm an offensive lineman, I got to look at that and say, I want a chance of doing that.
Yeah, heck yeah. I think we're in a really good position when it comes to recruiting on the offensive line, because, I mean, you have a proven product. The developmental phases are there. You're seeing guys graduate with degrees, multiple degrees, and have an opportunity to go to the NFL. It's an easy pick.
Yes, it's a pretty good setup. All right, that's kind of some background overview, Mike. We're done with quarter number one. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about individual players. We're going to get some scouting reports and inside scoop on them when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Mike. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director for Football for Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective. And Mike's been nice enough over the last couple of weeks giving us some inside peeks into the program. Mike, today we are talking about the class of 25. They are the incoming freshmen. And the incoming class always creates a lot of excitement. Let's talk about some of the individual players. Now, I'm a big tight end fan, okay? And partially that's because of what Penn State has done, and they just keep bringing out NFL tight end after tight end. This year, coming in, an exciting recruit is by the name of Andrew Olish. He's from the Lehigh Valley, 6'5", 215 pounds. And he's a guy that Penn State kind of stole him away from Michigan late. I think he was one of those guys you did not want to get out of the state, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this a number of times. You know, the best in PA, we wanted him to stay in PA and go to Penn State. And obviously he was the number one recruit in the state last year. So coach, you know, did not quit on his recruitment when he committed to Michigan. They fought tooth and nail and was able to prevail with the victory. And I got a chance to see him this winter work out. He was a mid-year enrollee coming in. Seemed like he had, you know, big eyes at first, like, whoa, now I'm here. And I was really surprised, to be honest, of how well he did. Not that I was expecting him to do poorly. It's just, you know, a mid-year coming into a program like that and, you know, a highly touted kid. It's always interesting to see how they gel with the older guys and the coaches and take coaching. And, you know, the coaching, it's hard coaching in those winter workouts. And he stepped up to the plate in a deep room, obviously, with a lot of talented guys. But he really impressed me, personally, with his work ethic. You know, even when it was tough and he's puking, you know, he fought through it. You know, some of those one-on-one challenges, you know, he beat some older guys, and he still has a lot of room to grow physically. So I'm excited to see him, you know, develop this next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some snaps this year, the way that he's developing and the way that he's trending, maybe especially on some special teams.
How does that work? You talked about, you know, going up against the bigger guys, being wide-eyed. There's so much experience and so much talent in the tight end room. It's got to be humbling for that freshman to walk in the door and you've got a Luke Reynolds and Andrew Rapelier there.
Dinkins.
So, Dinkins, exactly. Yep. There's a lot of talent there already, and all of a sudden you go from superstar high school player to having to wait your turn.
Yeah, well, I think the culture has helped, and the transparency on the front end before he gets there, and, you know, is big for what he is to expect. But I think personally, like, you take it as a challenge. You want to go in that room and prove to the guys that have been there, the Dinkins, the Raps, the other guys, Luke Reynolds, that, you know, he fits, you know, the stars and all that hype coming out of high school. You know, he wants to justify that when he gets there. And I think he did. I think he's doing a really good job fitting in. And like I said, he's gone over my expectations from what I thought what I was going to see in the winter program.
What I also imagine is, as a recruit, if you're a tight end, again, put on the video and show how Andy Kotelnicki has used the tight ends. It's got to be very attractive for a tight end recruit to come to Penn State and play in that offense.
Yeah, and you go back to, all the great tight ends that have played here. I remember it was Brady. I came to a camp way back 2000, 2001, something like that, and I looked up to him like he was God. I wanted to be him big time. But then you fast forward, you know, I'm probably missing some greats, but, you know, when I got here, you know, Mike Kosicki was here, and then, you know, not talked about enough, but Juwan Johnson wasn't a tight end here, but he's a tight end now in the league, yeah, and still is having a really great career. You know, you just had Tyler Warren go. I wasn't here for the guys that were in between that gap that I wasn't here, but those are obviously really talented guys. It's impressive when you look at that, the lineage and the guys that we put out and developed and put in the NFL. It is really impressive. So I think it's easy. I want to say easy for Olish to, you know, want to come to a Penn State and be developed. But also there are guys out there that they may look at a room like that and say, man, I don't know if I'm going to break that lineup soon. So maybe I'll go somewhere I can play earlier. So I think you look at that and you think about that, and that tells you a little bit about Olish and his makeup.
I would think also what's attractive is the fact that multiple tight ends get to play. And by the way, I just wanted to correct you on one thing. You mentioned you thought of Kyle Brady as like a god. No, he is a god. Okay. He is a god.
Yeah.
At Penn State.
Yeah, he had that big neck roll too. And so I did the neck roll because of him. I did it for a year and then I didn't like it.
That's great stuff, boy. That was a legendary team that he was on, believe me.
Right, and I remember hearing that he quit. I remember the coaches telling us when he came in his freshman year, and this is the coaches telling us this, he came in and it was just too hard, so he quit and left. I don't know if you heard that story.
I haven't, but I've heard so many stories over the years of different players having issues with Joe Paterno. Some of the Matt Millen stories you know, when they were supposed to run and he questioned why they had to run 100 yards or mile or whatever. Yeah. I'm a lineman. We don't run more than 10 yards on a play.
Yeah.
Joe put an end to that talk pretty quickly, but I could imagine there's a lot of players that freshman year, and there's a lot of stories of guys who come in, and you mentioned about Olish being wide-eyed when he first walks in. I imagine that is the standard story for most freshmen. How could you not be?
Yeah, I think for most freshmen, but to talk about another freshman that here is Darius Dixon. From Modern Day in California. For people that are familiar somewhat, even somewhat familiar with high school programs, football programs, it's a premier program, right? Like it's like a small college almost. And that's how they operate, right? So they function like a college football program. So players like that, when they go to college, they're not as wide-eyed. I think there was a quote from Coach saying that he's one of the most impressive freshmen that he's seen. Coach Knowles had said this just because of his demeanor. He isn't wide-eyed when he first comes in. It's just like he just is picking it up, and he was just doing it the other day. So it depends on the programs where they come from and how wired they are, and if their programs were similar to a college program, that helps obviously, but not every program's like that.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about a couple more players. You beat me to the punch on Darius Dixon. How about, here's a name all Penn State fans are familiar with, LeVar Arrington II. Like Darius Dixon, he's coming from California, but obviously the Penn State lineage there. And his last year or so of high school, he just shot up the rankings.
Yeah, you know, I was really impressed because when I first got here, well, when I was first getting back into it with Penn State, I remember, I think he had just committed or something like that. And he was still developing. This was before his senior year.
Yeah.
And then his senior year, he killed it. And then obviously shot up through the rankings and whatnot. And his body physically kept developing and he looks, you know, the part. So I got to see him. He was a mid-year. He's, you know, busting his tail. He seems like, a kind of a quiet kid, very green, but very raw right now. But I think there's some viral things out there on social media that, he looks the part, you know, and he just got here. So you just imagine another year or two of developing in the weight room. He's going to be pretty good. But also, he's going to have to, you know, that linebacker position. I mean, that's a big position. And I almost feel bad for these guys that have to, you know, follow the footsteps of somebody like his father. But he's handled it really good. He's a pretty humble kid. He's not, you know, some guys coming from a background like that may be entitled, but he's not at all. He's busting his tail, and I'm really excited about him. And I'm really excited to see if, he'll be like his dad and represent that 11.
Well, that was my next question, that decision of who gets 11, and he got it. There's probably as much pressure with the number 11 as there is with the name.
Yeah, but I mean, who better to have that pressure than LeVar's son? You know, like LeVar can jump on him if he doesn't think he's playing up to the standards. But that's a ton of pressure, especially as of late, the 11s that have been coming through here. But like I said, I think, you know, with another year or two of development, this kid is going to look freaky, just like his dad.
Well, you mentioned some of the social media video that was out there. My goodness, you look at that kid and you say, he's just 18 years old. What's he going to be in 4 years when he's a grown man?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 200 right now, you pack on another 30 pounds on him. I mean, he's gonna look real good.
Well, speaking of which, it was interesting. A couple years ago, Tony Rojas was considered the light. He was
200
pounds coming in. And by the time the spring game, Blue White came around, I think he was already approaching 230. And I just saw a video of him. These guys, I think they just do this to torture me. They're working out without a shirt on. And it's like, you just go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that one really hurt kind of because I was at Virginia Tech at the time. And when we got there, that was his senior year. That was he was that class, that senior high school class that we were recruiting. And that was Coach Pry had already been recruiting him. So he had some relationships, some ties. So we thought maybe we could have a chance, but no chance in hell because he came, visited once, and that was it. But having him here, you know, meeting his mom, his sister is a student. She's about to graduate, one of his sisters. He was lighter. He was a running back, too. And when I was at Penn State, I recruited – I love recruiting linebackers or running backs, but he was a stud. And then when I heard that he gained 20, 25 pounds already, I'm like, oh, this guy, he's going to be legit.
All right, that's it for quarter number two. Lots more players, lots more stories right after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana. And our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the collective at Penn State that serves over 30 sports and over 800 student athletes. You want to know more about what's going on? Just check out happyvalleyunited.com. And Mike, you and I are talking about some of the players on this incoming freshman class, some really interesting players. Let's talk about a few more of them. Let's look at the wide receiver position. Some interesting guys. You have Matt Auten, a wide receiver out of Virginia, your old neighborhood down there.
Yep.
You also have Lyric Samuel, who Penn State fans got introduced to him at the Blue-White game.
Yeah.
Who else am I missing? I'm missing one more.
Exnor, Jeff.
Yes, Jeff Exnor.
And Kobe Howard.
Yeah. Yes. Exnor is a pretty big guy. Is he considered tight end? He's considered wide receiver, which I think
I think he's more of he's a wide receiver right now. He's versatile. He's the one that like we struggled when we were at Virginia Tech watching this film. He's obviously talented enough, right, to help you. We just didn't know what he was. Is he safety? Is he a slot? Is he an outside guy? What is he? But these type of guys that come from a school like McDonough, you just want to continue to get these guys. They'll figure it out where they'll play, and they're going to end up helping us. But yeah, Jeff's one of those players. He's a smart kid too, really bright. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he grows into his body and what he develops into. But he's going to be a wide receiver right now. So looking forward to seeing what he does.
Well, I'm always excited about these guys who played multiple positions in high school because I do think that's an indicator of athleticism. And by the way, we were talking at the end of the last segment about Tony Rojas and his work as a running back. And you talked about that, linebackers and running backs, a lot of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Micah, look at Micah Parsons' film. He could have played in college and been a stud in college at running back.
Well, I have friends who covered high school football in the Harrisburg area when Micah was there, and they just said, you know, he was ridiculous. He could have played whatever he want. And I think I heard like some story. He would go to camps, do some running back, do some linebacker, and one time he just got in line with the cornerbacks, and you know, was the best one there.
Yeah. Yeah, you want those guys. But, yeah, like Matthew Houghton, like impressive running back too, in a really talented area that I'm familiar with, that Virginia Beach area, especially the Portsmouth area. For people that don't know, that area, that Portsmouth area, it's a very small fraction of that area, but it's a very tough and, like, very tough and kind of, like, rough area. So anybody that comes out of that area, you know they're a grinder and they're tough. And you see that on his film on both sides of the ball. But he's got a ton of horsepower, athlete all around. Love the kid, too. So he was committed to Virginia Tech when I was there. And that was he was a big get for Tech, being in state. I think he at the time was the number one or two player out of the state. And then when I left – He had just decommitted and flipped to Penn State. And I was so thankful at that moment that I was not in that office that day because that was not going to be a good day. But probably
so what you're saying is he followed you.
He knew exactly where I was going and loved me that much. No, but yeah, it was funny talking to him at that bowling event that we were at. I got to talk to him for a while about that experience and his recruitment. But he's a humble kid too. I'm really excited about him. He's one of the most exciting guys that I'm most excited about, probably because I'm a little biased. We had him on campus multiple times at Virginia Tech, and I just love everything about him.
I love when you tell the stories of the kids that you got to know as part of Virginia Tech, and I'm sure Brent probably just shakes his head every time he loses one of those guys to Penn State. I'm sure that's a part of it.
Yeah, those weren't good days in the office.
I'm sure not. Let's talk a little bit about Lyric Samuel, who we mentioned a little bit. He showed up at the blue-white game, caught a long touchdown pass. I have him listed at 6'3", 180. I love the 6'3" part, but I'm sure this is another guy that he's not going to finish his career at 180.
No. He's very wiry and lean right now. I don't know the official measurements on him right now. I just was talking to him the other day, and I'm like a little under 6'3". He's probably a little bit taller than me, so he's probably 6'3"-ish, or if not more, but athletic, just long, and like he has big features, like big hands, big feet, long legs, long arms, and he's athletic. You know, I remember he popped out to me one morning in the drills when we were having winter workouts. We usually post up at one station, they rotate through, and he one morning I'm like, man, he moves really good for it. He still should have been in high school at that point. He moving around really good, looks the part. And you don't see that a lot with longer guys. They're still kind of growing in their body. Yeah. But you guys saw the spring game. He's going to be pretty special. I'm excited to see what Coach Colton Nickey does with him in the future. But he's going to help us for sure. Really, really glad we have him.
Do you think we might see any of these wide receivers on the field this year?
I don't know. It depends on how the offense evolves. Obviously, you guys saw last year, Coach Colton Nickey, he's going to form his offense around what assets we have, right? Our best assets. So we'll see what the offense evolves into. But I think Kobe Howard was one of the most impressive wide receivers up to this point. And I think what's really cool about Kobe is he was an underrated kid coming from Florida, right? To come from Florida to state college, there's a lot of schools you got to pass. And we're lucky to have Kobe after seeing him work out. He is a grinder. He reminds me of some of the wide receivers that were here when I was here the first stint. Those guys just grinded after practice, before practice. Off days, they were always in the building, always catching balls. He reminds me of that guy, just a no nonsense type of kid, which is really impressive for who should still be in high school.
Well, you mentioned he's a Florida player, and there's so much talent down in Florida. Most of this recruiting class, like other recruiting class at Penn State, it's mid-Atlantic states, it's Northeast, just a handful of players. But if they're coming from outside, it's typically Florida. And now we're seeing a couple kids from California coming in.
Yeah. And, you know, Florida, it's interesting. Everybody knows about Florida recruiting. When I was down south for 3 years at Mississippi State, that Pensacola area, that strip before you get to, like, really North Florida, Central Florida, and go down that way, that is a really talented area. And him coming from that area is pretty neat. Just because I was really familiar with that school. But yeah, you know, to that speaks to, you know, where Penn State is with the recruitment. You know, we're going to go out nationally, get the best players. We want to stay regional, but we're going to go and get the best players that we can get.
Own your home area, cherry pick elsewhere. Yeah. And just real quick story, and this is many years ago. I come from a place, Berwick in Pennsylvania. Traditionally had a really, really good football program. I went down to Florida, the Southwest Florida area, in December one year. This is like 30 some years ago. And they talked about Florida speed. Well, there were a couple local high school games that were televised, and I had seen enough local up here in Pennsylvania. Oh my goodness. It was a different game, Mike, that they were playing down there than was being played up here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. They, I mean, they have speed, right? That's why everybody goes down there. They want that speed and athleticism.
They do. All right. Let's go to another player. Let's get back into Pennsylvania and out towards Western PA. Aliquippa, a great program, not a big school, but a great program. And Tyke Hayes, a running back from there. I don't think he was like the 4 or 5 star guy, but we're starting to hear some good stories about Tyke.
Yeah, Tyke, I think, you know, he was a pretty highly talented guy. He was a, you know, the top player when they won the state championship in 2023. And then I think he had like 3 touchdowns or something like that in that state championship game, but he blew up. He is a very stocky looking running back, like a power type running back, but he's athletic too. He's going to be pretty special. He's been impressive since coming here. He was a mid-year addition. You know, going back to some of those winter workouts, his one-on-ones with some of the older guys, you know, like you could tell, you know, the Quipa guys, you know, that's a tough area, tough school. And he brought that to those winter workouts, and he looks great. He's going to be really good.
Well, again, that's exciting. And we talked about the tight end room and what it was like to go there with so much talent. That's the same way. If you're walking into that running back room, you've got a lot of talent around you, a lot of guys to learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you got those two running back, you know, you obviously got Katron and Nick. So it's like, yeah, like the tight end room, it's good that you're able to get talented players to come in a deep room to learn off of those guys. Maybe the first year, maybe earn yourself some playing time here and there. But in the meantime, you're developing your body, you know, you're growing athletically and physically. And then this year, you know, he's going to be able to learn from the best, Nick and Katron. Who's better to learn from those guys?
And this creates just that tradition. You see the rooms, the tight end room, it's one after another. The running back room, one after another now.
Yep.
Once you get some of that momentum, it's just like inertia. Once it's going well, it's in motion, it's going to stay in motion, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you're able to show them the proven product, right? The position coaches are able to show, hey, this is what they've done. This is what we've done with all of them. And that's what every program does, right? We're just in a better position, and we look a little bit better than a lot of other programs because we're that much more proven at positions.
Exactly. You've got the talent there. Make use of it. All right, that is it for quarter 3. Mike, when we come back quarter four, guess what? We're going to talk quarterback. Everyone always loves talking about the quarterback, Mike.
Yeah, they
we're going to do that. We're going to do that when we get back right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at Happy Valley United, giving us a lot of the inside scoop into the Penn State football program. Today, we're talking about the incoming freshman class. We've gone through a lot of the players, but we haven't hit the quarterback position yet. And this year's class, it's Beckham Kritza. He fits this mold. We've been talking about these guys being long, 6 foot five. Another one of these guys who looked like he should have been on the basketball court.
Yeah, I think, you see Kritza. I like Kritza. I've had to deal with him a bunch since being here on just like little things. And, he's got a cool personality to him. He's popular on social media. I didn't realize that, how popular he was. But he's long right now, like super long. his 6'5", 190 looks real skinny. So he's going to gain a lot of weight in the program, obviously in a good room to learn from Danny and Coach Kolnicki. So he's got some time to develop. But, you know, he's a good guy that, you know, he developed later to what we liked. And so we took him late and pretty happy with him so far.
Well, give us a little bit of the scouting report on him. I know the days of, gee, are you a pocket quarterback or are you a running quarterback has kind of gone away. But
yeah,
tell me about his mobility. Tell me about his arm strength. What's he like?
Yeah, I would say as of right now, he's still developing, obviously, physically and athletically, but he's well-rounded. He's going to have the ability to be smart with his feet and hurt you on the ground. But he's also got a good pocket presence, good feet, good awareness, good anticipation. He has the arm strength to make all the difficult throws, long, deep, short, but the accuracy will come with a lot of young guys, because the speed is obviously a little bit different from high school to here. Just like you hear when guys go from college to NFL, the speed is different. You know, a caught ball, a thrown ball in a window, in a small window in college, you may make that completion. But, you know, when you go to the NFL, that could be a pick. Well, that's the same thing from high school to college. You know, he's still getting adjusted. But with the quarterbacks nowadays, with all the different Elite 11s and camps and 7-on-7s and stuff like that, you know, I think they're more prepared and more ready, more college ready than they were back in the day when I was playing or you were playing. But yeah, Kritza, he's going to be a developmental guy for the next year or two probably. So keep your eyes out on him and how he develops, but he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Well, I like that, as you said, and I saw him at that event, and he looks like another one of those long, lean bodies that could carry a lot more weight, though. You know, it's like Chuck Losey is just saying, all right, let me get a hold of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to be 200 pounds for a long time. All right, let's look at a couple other players. Another guy I'm curious about is Alex Tash. He's a linebacker, Western PA kid, Latrobe. I saw him listed at 6'2", 213. What do we know about Alex?
Yeah, Alex, the first thing that I realized with – well, that popped out to me was when I saw him in winter workouts, how athletic and how big he is. He has huge lowers right now. Like his, when I say lowers, that's like hip down, you know, thickness of your lowers. It could tell a lot about that player and, you know, power and explosion, stuff like that. And he's got that, and he just got there. Still should have been in high school. I'm really excited about him. I think he's one of the next best great linebackers, has the potential to be with his size, athletic ability. He's a smart kid. You know, he has really good, you know, skill set already right now for Coach Connor to build off of. But yeah, I'm really excited about him.
You know, you mentioned about being a smart kid. And when I think about linebackers, I feel like that's a position that intelligence, that football IQ is so important. Between segments, we were talking about someone like Dom DeLuca, who has a feel for the game, a knowledge, and that's a way to make you play faster because you have a good sense of what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, I think that's credit to Dom and his game and his skill set, but like he's really smart. He's really good at anticipating his instincts. Like that makes him play faster. And that's why he's in the right spot at the right times more often than not. I love Dom's game. I wish I was here for his recruitment and to see him. But from him to come here to be a walk on to where he's at right now is awesome. I like talking to him. He's a really cool guy to talk to. That definitely helps having the smarts.
Having met him a few times and his parents, just a great family, a lot of fun folks to talk about.
Yeah, I was just talking to him about his mom. I got to meet his mom.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
She's wonderful, isn't she?
Yeah, that's what he tells me.
Well, and the dad, we're a couple of old Italian guys. When we start talking, we started talking about all the best pizza places in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see them at the parents' tailgate and talk about pizza places. I can compare it to the Youngstown pizza joints.
Well, that's the conversation you'll have with Dom's dad. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Let's hit a couple more players here while we have some time. Another, again, this is the common theme, the length of some of these players. You were the one you mentioned earlier in the show, the DBs. So you get a guy like Josh Johnson, cornerback out of Ohio, and he's 6'3". That's not typical for a cornerback, but I really like that.
Yeah, really impressive guy. He comes from Ironton High School in Ohio. A lot of the times, Ohio guys, especially Northeast guys like me, we don't really claim the Southeast like that because it's really the Ironton is on that river, and it's really West Virginia too. You know what I mean? Like West Virginia is you throw a rock and you hit West Virginia, but it's a really good program. That program runs it it's like varsity blues to me. That program coaches there do a really good job developing players. Josh, I just had I was just working with Josh on a NIL deliverable thing, and he was awesome to talk to. Just got to catch up on Ohio football and stuff like that. But yeah, he's long, just like the rest of them, athletic. So I'm really excited about him, and I'm glad we got somebody from Ironton because that program it's like a varsity blues. They just eat, breathe football there. You look at the stadium; it's a really cool look at stadium. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited about him. I think the comparison that I heard about him, and I recruited Tariq Castro Fields, but there's been a lot of comparisons to him, and I can see that it makes sense.
Not a bad comparison to hear that. Let's stay in Ohio. How about Chaz Coleman? He's a defensive end edge guy out of Ohio. Another 6'5", another big guy, Mike.
Yep. So Chaz, like I was going to be mad at you if you didn't bring up Chaz, because Chaz actually is my favorite, and I'll be biased. I don't care because he's from Warren, Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio. That's where back in my day at Youngstown or in Boardman, we were the SVC. We played Warren, Ohio. That was when they had Maurice Claret and all those guys. Oh, yeah. And that is a tough school. We talked about Quipa being a tough school, and like where Matthew Allen's from in Portsmouth. That's a tough school, and I see Norcom. Warren G. Harding is that school too. It is a tough school. And so then when I saw Chaz recruitment spiked up big time late. When you look at him, I just saw him the other day. He's going to be a freak. I said we were sitting around the table around the nutrition bar, and I was just joking with the guys. I said my hot take right now is Chaz is going to be a first rounder when it's all said and done, because he's so raw right now. But you look at him, he has a freakish looking body, long and athletic. And when you look at his film, don't look at his football film. Look at his basketball film. And I think a lot of the fans out there already have seen Chaz and his basketball, and he's a freak. And he does remind me of another player that we recruited when I was here, and it was Jason Owe. Jason Owe came in. Yeah. He was more of a basketball player. Yes. But he had that frame, right? That freakish frame that he has. That's like Chaz. Chaz has his frame. Chaz, I think, will end up being bigger than him. He's a little, I think he has a bigger frame on him, but I'm so excited about him. I'm glad we got somebody from Warren, Ohio too.
Well, I tell you what, we have this one recorded. So in 3 years from now, if he's a first round draft pick, hopefully we're still doing this show. You could go, Jim, I told you.
That's right.
I really don't want you mad at me, Mike, okay? So I'm going to stop with the names here and make sure, is there anybody I miss that you, because I didn't bring them up, you'd get mad at me. So here's your opportunity.
Okay, yeah.
So, half we have left. Who did I miss?
So getting to know this class, I think the fans and everybody should be, like, super excited. I think there's a lot of guys we're continuing that trend where we've recruited a lot of guys that were like three stars and weren't really highly recruited. And then by the end of the recruitment, they ended up getting some stars and whatnot. But they, for the most part, they were under recruited. I think there's a lot of players like that, like Braz Thomas. He's a safety from Punzaville High School in New Jersey. He was a mid-year. He has an amazing story and background too, which I'm sure will get talked about in the future. But he just has a knack for the ball, and he's a big kid. And like when I say lowers, he has big lowers. Like he's explosive, and he has a knack for the ball. Yvonne Kamoju, a defensive end out of Maryland, he is a freak. In my mind, he's going to be an absolute stud. He's doing stuff as a defensive end in a mid-year that you shouldn't be doing, and he just started playing football. I remember turning on his film. It was during the season, and his film had just came out, and we turned it on, and we're like, this kid is going to absolutely blow up. We're not going to have any shot if we don't offer him right away, and we didn't offer him right away. But then here comes USC, here comes Michigan, here comes Penn State. And I said, guys, told you, and then you see him. So we do this thing called a tire pull, right? Everybody does it. Everybody does a tire pull during the winter workouts. When he comes off as a very quiet kid, right? But then when the whistle's blown, he has this look at him that I've only seen in like Jeffrey Simmons, who plays for the Tennessee Titans. Nicest guy off the field, but then he's scary. I'm not really scared by many people, but those looks scare me.
This one is. All right. That's going to be the final word. Thank you, Mike. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.